Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text will be the epistle or the Acts of the Apostles reading. Please be seated. What has happened to the way in which we do missions today? When the boat left Madagascar and all those Norwegian pastors and their families were left behind, they had two things to face. One of them was the cannibals who were local, and the other were the French Catholics who were trying to kill them, and they weren't so certain as to which of them was more dangerous. Saint Matthias faced a similar situation, we are told, according to legend. Saint Matthias was chosen by lot to go and convert a city of people who were considered to be man-eaters. It is said that they ate neither bread nor drank wine, but rather that they ate the flesh of men and that they drank their blood. It makes us wonder, even if there is a grain of truth, as to how it is that somebody could have the kind of courage to be able to go to a situation, a place, a people like that, and be so confident that somehow they could be converted to the faith. Our text is somewhat illuminating because of, well, there are things in this text that are maybe questions that we might have about the ministry today, if we believe that there is some sort of connection or continuity between the institution of that apostolic office and this thing that we call the pastoral ministry. That connection involves probably three things. One of them is, what is it that it takes to actually qualify a man for the ministry? The second might be what the nature of that office is. What exactly is this office of the Holy Spirit? And the third thing might involve something along the lines of how does one fill this office or if it's vacant, but the way that Peter even quotes the Psalms, it brings questions to our mind about whether or not this text applied specifically to Matthias or whether it is prescribing for us a way to understand both the office and the way in which that office is filled. We have reasons today for why it is that we should be concerned. The first probably has to do with the fact that the office of the ministry, by and large, has become extremely functionalistic. That is to say, that people think that they can simply take up the office by simply doing the things for which the office was instituted to do. It is not true. And if merely by being a witness to Christ does not make one a minister in this office. But one thing is certain, and that is that the office was created for the purpose of preaching and proclaiming the gospel. Matthias was qualified because he had been a person who had been with Jesus from the time of his baptism, obviously had not left Jesus out of scandal or anything else that the other disciples may have left him for. And Matthias was a person who was called upon to be a witness to the resurrection of Christ. By being a witness to the resurrection of Christ, obviously the entire ministry of Jesus was in part connected to that resurrection of Christ. Not just a historical fact, but rather what we might call the gospel in all of its articles. The office is instituted for the function. The form and the function are inseparable. And all of us have to sit back and ask ourselves a very serious question. The office wasn't made for the office, if you will. It's not made so that we might sit around on our tushes in our offices reading our mail or our email or whatever it might be. It was instituted for the purpose of literally proclaiming the gospel. And in this respect, many of us, including me, by George, have found ourselves too often inclined to do all the other things that really don't have anything else to do with the real ministry. The office exists for the purpose of testifying to the marvelous gospel of Jesus Christ. Secondly, at the risk of being accused of being hypo-European, anti-Waltherian, this office, since it has been given by Christ to the church, is sacramental, if we understand that in the right way. It's sacramental in the sense that there is something more going on in this office than just somebody doing a job. There is something about this office that is visible. It defines the church in a given locality and place. It is something that is sacramental in the sense that it is authorized to forgive and retain sins. It is something that is sacramental in the sense that what it bestows is with real authority as sins are pardoned and forgiven. And it is sacramental in the sense that this is God's weapon for the way in which he deals with the world and brings the world to confess and to repent. Thirdly, and this is perhaps maybe more comforting if we might understand this, this is a living office of the Holy Spirit. That is to say, there is so much today that is placed upon the so-called individual talents of a person, that your weaknesses and your strengths are those things that qualify you or make you the person that they want for a given office. The fact of the matter is that no man can occupy this office as a human being without being completely under-equipped for the task that is being laid before it. No, rather like that Marvel comic strip person who was called Iron Man, we are to be clad with the Holy Spirit, clad with an iron armor that comes with the office itself. And that through and by means of this office, we are to challenge and engage the world with a sense of confidence, not this soft kind of mamby-pamby appeal to people based upon their feelings and their emotions. We are there to be apostles who are willing to take on the world and challenge the world, not with our gifts or our abilities, but rather with an office that is bestowed upon us from our Lord in heaven. So, these three things are related to one another. We have been called, as faithful servants of Christ to testify to the fullness of all the articles of the gospel given to us by means of this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. And we are to do so with a full confidence in the office itself, knowing that the office is Christ's office, which he has given to us, with which we might do battle with the world. And it is a living office, an office of the Holy Spirit that clads weak and insufficient men and makes them iron men who are not afraid to courageously speak the truth to the world in which we live, especially, and if necessary, even man-eaters. Amen.